as we come together on this morning, thanking God for the many blessings that He has given us. And we also are rejoicing in the fact that Brother Gavin was added to the body on Friday. So we ask that you continue to pray for him. He's been a new convert. Thankful for Sister Jones coming back to the fold, confessing sin and asking for prayers. We also have Sister Benita, who is asking for prayers and forgiveness for storms and inside, and praying for those things to be resolved. So we ask that you continue to pray for Sister Benita as well. And let us just go ahead and pray once again at this time before we get into the lesson. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you have given us. We thank you for the avenue of prayer. We ask that you forgive us for our shortcomings. We ask that as we continue to forgive others, as you have forgiven us, that we may be pleasing and accepting to you, that our prayers may be heard. We ask that you be with Brother Gavin, that you may strengthen him, that you may allow him to grow in grace and knowledge. We ask that you be with the family as they continue to strengthen him and to encourage him to continue to do the things that are right. We thank you for Sister Jones, who has come back to the fold. We welcome her, Heavenly Father. We pray that she may continue to be steadfast and unmovable, that we may continue to encourage her. We ask that you be with Sister Benita, the things that are going on in her life at this time, that you may strengthen her, allow her to get past those things, and continue to focus on your will. Each one here, Heavenly Father, that is going through some trials and tribulations in life, we ask that you may comfort them in a way that you know how. We ask that you be with Brother Ollie and Sister Betsy as they're tending to their relatives in Alaska and their spouses as they're with them, that those things may work out to glorify you. And Heavenly Father, as we continue to strive to do your will, that we may continue to be an example to others, that they may seek your glory and seek the things that you would have them to do. There may be someone here, Heavenly Father, that has not been obedient to your will, that something may be said to cause them to look at their life, and as they contemplate doing the things that are right, that they may do those things before it is too late. For we know that after this life is over, that the grave is there and that paradise is there as well, and that judgment awaits. There's only two places that we can spend our eternity, either in heaven or in hell. And we hope, Heavenly Father, that we may enter in to your glorious kingdom in the end. These and all prayers we ask in our Son Jesus' name. Amen. As we come together on this evening to close out our study on prayer, which the book will never be closed, we will always go back and revisit those things and talk about them. We've been looking at the topic of when you pray, going to Matthew chapter 6, looking at the model prayer as Jesus was answering the question of his disciples, or the request, when they asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And what we want to cover this morning is a couple of first things we do in prayer and identifying what is prayer. As Jesus taught his disciples in Matthew 6, we continue to teach people today. As Brother Rashad came forth and begun his prayer addressing the Father, Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 9. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, Remembering as we looked at the lesson on prayer that we give reverence unto God. He is holy. The Bible says holy and reverent is His name. No man should wear the name of God. We don't pray to any man. Jesus is not even telling His disciples to pray to Him. He says, you pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So it's God that we are giving reverence to in our prayers. And as we give reverence unto Him, one of the other things that we need to understand and recognize and do, as we find in the book of Daniel chapter 9, as Daniel was praying unto the Lord here in Daniel chapter 9, we'll start with verse 4. Once again, we see where Daniel is doing exactly what Jesus told his disciples. He's not addressing the king. He's addressing God. Daniel 9, verse 4 says, and I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him and to them that keep His commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Here we find that Daniel, as he addresses God, realizes that in order for God to hear him, that he had to confess that he had sins and that he wanted those sins to be done away with. And we know in the Old Testament that those sins rolled over year after year. But we not only find that Daniel realized who he was praying to, but who he had to confess his sins to. And we can realize that even looking in the New Testament, in the book of 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Prayer is important. Prayer is a communication with God. It's something that we have the privilege to do as being one of His children. In the book of 1 John chapter 1, we start with verse 8. 1 John chapter 1, and we start with verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, as John is writing and he is saying that if we confess our sins, I know we can find that we're supposed to confess our faults one to another. And that's well and good. And we're going to talk about that as well in looking at what is prayer and how shall we pray. But here as John is writing, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Who is the He here? The He is not man. The He is God. We confess our sins to God. We address Him in order for Him to forgive us of our sins. And I believe that as we understand who we're supposed to be addressing, we understand who we're supposed to be confessing our sins to, who we're supposed to repent to. Prayer is important. Prayer isn't something that we just wake up one day and realize, hey, I can pray. You know, you ever seen a baby when they first discovered that they have fingers, not realizing what fingers are? And they're just looking at those fingers and they're smiling, and then they notice their feet, and sometimes they frown because their feet are ugly, Brian. But they just smile, realizing that everything is going to be okay. And as we We look at those babies smiling and we finally figure out that we see someone praying and we want to wonder who they're praying to and what they're praying about, and we ask them to teach us to pray as the disciples of Jesus asked them to teach them to pray. And we teach people to be obedient unto God, and we see again that it's not natural. It's not something that we just know how to do. Practice. We ask people to pray and say, I never prayed before anybody before. Well, that's always the first time. So we give them that opportunity to pray the first time. And then the second time. And then the third time. And before you know it, they're asking, hey, can I lead the prayer? Can I do this? Can I do that? And the answer is yes, you can, because there's a lot of people that don't want to do it. But prayer is a privilege. Prayer is a privilege. Prayer is a solicitation unto God. You know, you go to these houses, you get ready to knock on those doors, and they say, no soliciting, but God solicit our prayers. He wants us to pray to Him. He wants us to ask Him for things. He wants us to come to Him because He is our Father. We find in Scripture in 1 Timothy, once again, verses 1. We're going to start there. We're going to go a little bit further than what Brother Fair read. He only read what I asked him to read. But we're going to go just a little bit further. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Because we need to understand what prayer is in order to be able to pray and our prayers to be able to be heard before God. 1 Timothy 2 verse 1 says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. The question was asked, do we pray for the man that's a sinner, that has never come to God before? Do we pray for that man? And here's the answer right here. Yes, we pray for him. It must be made. It needs to be made for all men. For kings and for all that are in authority. That we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. I'm not praying for the president. I'm not praying for the mayor. I'm not praying for the judge. I'm not praying for the police officers because I don't like the way they lead. Well, if you're a Christian and you're not praying for them, what you're saying is you don't like God. You don't like the way God has led us and taught us to do what is right. Because here he says, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. This is one of the reasons we pray for those leaders that we say that we don't like. That something may change in their lives in order for them to be obedient unto the gospel. You know, some leaders welcome prayer. Some leaders, you know, want you to pray for them. Some want you to tell them that you're praying for them because they know that the office in which they hold, that they need prayer. And we need prayer in order to live a peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Verse 4 says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. See, when we pray to the Father for all that we want, for all that we think that we need, for the forgiveness of our sins, as we pray to the Father, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. He's our mediator. He's our mediator. So we find here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, that supplication, a request, must be made unto God. Unto God. Because a lot of things that we pray for, man can't give to us. Amen. How many of you have went and asked some man, you know, I'm praying to you, which again, that's wrong, that I may have peace. How many men can give you peace? Bible didn't say that men are going to give you this peace, but God is going to grant it to you. Peace that if God gives it to you, man can't take it away from you. That's something that we need to understand. Prayer is worshiping God. Many people don't consider prayer as being worship, but what we consider it being a part of our worship, don't we? So it's worshiping God. We have the right to go to the Father in prayer. He has given us that right because of allowing His Son to come to this earth and be crucified, buried, and raised up on the third day. We have a right to come to Him and pray because He has risen from that grave to sit up on the right hand of the Father. Then we also find that there's an intercession that needs to be made. A request that needs to be made on the behalf of someone else. You remember in Acts chapter 8 when Peter pointed out Simon's sin to him, he asked Peter, pray for me. Make an intercession for me. That these things in which you have said that they may not come upon me. So we have people all the time asking us to pray for them. A lot of times we ask people to pray for us. Some people, when they ask us or they tell us that they're praying for us, we want to make it known to them, well, I hope that your life is in order, that you can pray for me. Or we find a saint that's outside the body or outside the ark of safety, and we're telling them, I need you to get your life in order so that you can pray for me. See, there have been many times where we knew that we could not pray for anybody because our life was not what it needed to be. Prayer is important. And they also find in praying, as Paul writes to Timothy here, is giving of thanks. Gratitude. You know, you've heard me say, and I will continue to say it, that the people here in the United States of America are some of the most ungrateful people that's on the face of this earth. Just ungrateful. And many Christians are ungrateful. We don't have any gratitude toward God. We're always going to Him and asking Him for things. Can I have this, Father? Can I have that, Father? This is what I need, Father. Instead of taking the time and thanking Him for all that He's already done for us. Prayer is important. God, He wants us to ask Him for things, yes. But He also wants us to give thanks for what He has done for us. He owes us nothing. But that's the way we approach Him sometimes. We approach Him like, you owe me this, God. You're the one that put me on the face of this earth. You owe me these things. God owes us nothing. He's already given us His Son. He's waiting to give us eternal life in heaven if we are obedient because of the salvation that He has made affordable to all men, if we are willing to accept that. We're ungrateful. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Prayer is important. Prayer is important. You don't think that communicating with God is important? You need to think again. You know, we long to talk to our friends. We long to talk to our family. Just as we long to talk to those individuals, we need to long to talk to God. We need to seize every moment that we can to have a communication with Him. Philippians chapter 4, the verses 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let your requests be made known unto God. Again, we find that this prayer is worshiping God. Not man, but worshiping God. The supplications need to be made. Requests need to be made. He's telling you right here, as Paul is writing, he's telling you that supplications need to be made. Requests need to be made. But what else is he telling us? He's telling us that thanksgiving needs to be offered. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You know, a lot of times we thank God even before He answers our prayers. We thank Him because we know that, you know, if it's possible, if it's according to His, we know it's possible, but if it's according to His will, that He's going to do it. So we thank Him. I'm thanking You in advance, God, for the prayers in which I offered on Your up on my behalf, the prayers I offered up to You, I'm thanking you for the answer that you're going to give me. I'm willing to accept the answer, whether it's yes, whether it's no, whether it's wait. I'm willing to accept that answer. Again, look at the first part of that verse. Be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. See, a lot of times when we go to God in prayer, we're worried about all these things. We're worried about, you know, I wonder if God is going to answer my prayer. Don't wonder. If you're going to wonder if he's going to answer your prayer, don't pray to it. And once you pray to him, if you're going to continue to worry about those things, you need to go back and retract your prayer. God, I'm sorry for bothering you, which is no bother, because I'm still going to worry. You know, we have things all messed up. We have God confused with someone else. We worry about some unnecessary things where God wants us to put those things to rest. He wants us to depend on him, and we need to depend on him. Prayer is important. Prayer is important. It is the primary way of followers of God to communicate with him, to talk to him. You know, we're not gonna be able to see him face to face until the very end. But we can communicate with him throughout this life. And he wants us to communicate with him. He wants us to ask him for things. You know, a lot of times our children, they want things from, we know what they need. But you know what we want them to do? We want them to come to us and ask us for those things. We want to feel like, this is us now, we want to feel like you need me, and I want you to realize that you need me, so I want you to come to me and ask me for those things. Our oldest son, Timothy, 18 years old, still didn't have his driver's license yet because he didn't want to listen to what we wanted him to do. He always wanted to go and ask his friends. He didn't want to ask mom and daddy. He wanted to go ask his friends. I said, son, if you would just listen, you could have your driver's license. Finally, he broke down and did what he was told to do. He had his driver's license today. Probably need him taken away from him, but he have them. The Father wants us to ask him for things. In James chapter 4 and the verses 2. James chapter 4 and the verses 2. See, there's a way that we ask God for things. We just don't come to him and demand him for things. Mama, daddy, you know, this is us. Mama, daddy, I need a new pair of shoes. What's wrong with the old ones you have? They still look new, but you need a new pair of shoes? I need some new clothes, but yet you still have clothes in the closet that have tags on them. But I need. See, we ask God in all the wrong ways sometimes. It says, this story, verse 1, actually, in chapter 4 of the book of James. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come day, not hence, even of your lust that war in your members. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet ye have not, because you ask amiss. Or you ask not, shall I say. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. You think God is going to give us something just because we're asking him for it? Just because we tell him we need these things? No, that's not the type of God we serve. God gives us things that we need in order for us to survive. You know, a lot of people, they eat just because they want to eat. They eat just because it's there. Well, we ask God for things sometimes just because we know he's God and he's able to give us these things. Well, everything that God hears come from us, he's not going to give to us. He gives us things according to his will. But we have to ask him also according to his will. Ye lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because you ask not. Some things that we want, we don't have, because we don't ask God for it. I was mentioning the other day about some of the little things in life that we think we don't want to bother God with this. And when I say things, again, people hear me say them, and then I act the one way, and then they bring it right back in front of me. Well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you the story real quick, because I don't tell you. Anita may tell you anyway. The other day I had $40, and I put the $40 in my pocket, and I lost it. I was looking for that $40, and I was looking for that $40. And she said, "Have you prayed to God about it?" I said, "No, I'm just looking." And I continued to look for it and look for it and look for it. And I went back to a place where I thought I could have lost it, and it wasn't there. And I got in the truck and I looked in the black hole, and there my $40 was. And Anita asked me a very simple question. She said, "Did you pray to God about it?" I said, "No, I did not." She said, "I did. I did. $40 was there." So you know what she said? "Where's my 20? Where's my 20? I said, "It was $40. It wasn't $20." So she didn't get her 20. But anyway, we need to pray to God about things that we think are not important, but yet they're important to God, because God wants us to realize He is our Father. He's our Father and willing and waiting to give us our request. We need to ask God to pardon us of sin. God, don't let me just ask for forgiveness for this sin and allow it to linger in my body, or allow it to linger in my mind that you are still holding this over me. We need to ask for a pardon. Lord, remove this sin. Lord, forgive me for this sin. Forgiving to God is not throwing it back up in your face, as we talked about forgiveness. And also Brother Chris preached about forgiveness. Forgiveness is something that we all desire, but yet we do not ask God for it. In James chapter 5, verse 16. James chapter 5, the verse is 16. This is, you remember in 1 John chapter 1, I was talking about confessing our sins unto God. But here we find in James chapter 5, verse 16, let's back up to verse 15 actually. "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." We need to pray for on the behalf of others that their sins may be forgiven them. We need to confess our faults one to another so people can pray to us that we may be strengthened to continue to live for God. Why do you think Sister Jones asked us to pray for her as she confessed her sins unto God? She still asks us to pray for her that she may be strengthened to do the things that are right. And everyone else that asks for prayers of the congregation, they're asking, as Sister Benita was, they're asking, they're soliciting the prayers of the righteous. If a man does not have his life in order, he does not have the right to pray to God, unless it is a prayer of forgiveness. Unless it is a confession of their sins in order for their sins to be forgiven, and then they're back in the right state in which they can pray to God, and also not only pray to God for themselves, but pray on the behalf of others. Prayer is to praise God. It's to praise God. We know who God is. We know what God can do. Well, let's act like we do. Let's make some requests unto God that only God can grant. Man can't do the things that God can do. Let's look in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 2. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 2. Verses 1 through 10. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Again, you notice that when someone is praying, who they address their prayers to. "And Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation.'" 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 3, or verse 2. "There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is your God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." Actions are weighed. "The bows of mighty men are broken, and they are stumbled and girded with strength. that they were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren have borne seven, and she that had many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifted up his beggar from the dunghill. He set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of the saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall thunder upon them, and the Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his kings and exalt the horn of his anointed. You know, as we go and we look at Hannah praying to God, and we understand that God is willing again to answer every prayer. Hannah, as she prayed to God, she asked God for something. Only God could do it. She asked God to give her a child, and not just any old child. She asked God for a male child, a child that she would dedicate right back to him. You know what God did? God answered Hannah's prayer. So what are you thinking today that God cannot do? What are you thinking that God cannot do? We pray for the erring saint, and guess what happens? The erring saint comes back. We pray for men and women to obey the gospel. And you know what happens? Men and women obey the gospel. We pray that our leaders may make some wise decisions. And you know what happens? Our leaders make some wise decisions, not talking about the ones that are not so wise. We pray for those things, and it happens. And we praise God for those things. And Hannah was praising God. We need to understand today that we need to praise him. Prayer is giving of thanks. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We always jump down to verse 17, but let's back up. Well, we're going to read just a little bit more, not just 17. We're going to read just a little bit more. We'll start with verse 16, and we're going to read verse 18 through 18. As Paul writes here to the church of Thessalonica, he says, "Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Giving of thanks once again to who? To the Father. Give thanks to the Father. Prayer is important, and we need to continue to pray on a regular basis. Not just when I want something, not just when I'm in trouble, but we need to pray to God all the time. Every situation, pray to God. It is communicating with God. And when we communicate with God, we go to him in confidence. Not you know, "Lord, I really want to go to God in prayer, but I'm a little bit afraid that he's not going to do what I want him to do." You're going with the wrong answer. You're going with the wrong attitude. In the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. You know, when the priests were praying for people, the people wasn't afraid to go to the priest and say, "Hey, could you pray on my behalf on this? Could you go to God on my behalf on this?" But now that we have the right to pray to him, there are many people afraid to address him. He's God. Sisters and brothers, you know, a lot of times this is the way they act. "You go ask mama." "No, you go ask mama. You go ask daddy. Pray to God on my behalf on this." Why don't you pray on God on your own behalf? I pray with you, but why don't you pray too? I just don't think that God is going to hear my prayers. There must be something wrong with you. Something you need to get right in your life? Get it right. Here in the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12, he says, "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him." See, we have the ability, we have the right to go to God in prayer on our own behalf. And we need to do it. We need to access with confidence, with boldness, courage, understanding again that He is our Father and He wants us to pray unto Him. God is willing to answer our prayers. He's willing to answer our prayers. He wants to hear from us. You haven't had a phone call from a friend in a long time and they call you. Oh, you're so excited. So excited. You want to excite somebody? Excite God. Talk to Him. He hadn't heard from some of us in a long time. Talk to Him. He's waiting on us to talk to Him. He's waiting on us to thank Him for some things. He's waiting on us to get our lives in order. He's waiting on us to ask Him for some things so that He can grant us our requests. God hears our prayers when our life is right with Him. He hears our prayers. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 18, as Brother Daniel was talking about Elijah, we've read it and I've even preached sermons on it. When Elijah told the prophets of Baal, pray unto your gods, and their gods never answered. Never answered. But as Elijah prayed unto God, God answered, and He answered with power. He's still the same God. He hasn't changed. You want something to happen in your life? You want a change to come about in your life? Pray to God. Pray to Him. Make sure you get your life in order as you're praying for Him. Make sure you understand that He's only going to answer the request that is according to His will. Not what we want, but what He wants. Because He's God. As Jesus prayed in the garden, Father, if it be Thy will, allow this cup to be removed from me. But not my will be done, but Your will be done. That's the way we need to pray today. We need to pray and say, Father, if it's Your will, let these things happen. But I know that it's according to Your will, and if it don't happen, hey, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. So we pray for the church. We pray that the church may grow. We pray that the church may be strengthened. We pray that people may do what they're supposed to do in order to glorify God and that God may be glorified. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, and you're willing to come and to make the confession before the people that are here that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you can have your sins washed away in the watery grave. We have the water. All we're waiting on is your confession. Maybe you're here and you are a child of God and you're strayed away. We're waiting on you to come back. We're waiting on you to come and to confess your faults and waiting to pray for you that you may be strengthened. That opportunity is yours. Don't delay. Tomorrow is not ours. James says your life is but a vapor. It appeared for a little time and then vanishes away. Waiting on you to come before it is too late. If you're here and you accept the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing.